This message, should we vote part two? We'll rise for this because it's customary for this to rise for the opening verses. It comes from Luke 19, 26 and 27. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Be seated. In the first message, we went through all the kings of Israel and Judah, and none of them performed as kings to the requirements that God had laid out to Moses. This message is going to look at the one king who did perform according to the requirements that God had laid out to Moses. That king, of course, is Jesus the Christ. We'll go to Deuteronomy 17, verse 15. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. God chose Jesus. Matthew 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Judeans? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Also in Matthew 3, 16 and 17. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Continuing with a second witness to the choosing of a king by God, we go to Luke 2:32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the nations and the glory of thy people Israel. Back to Deuteronomy 17:16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. So we go to Matthew 21, 2 and 3. Saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. King Jesus borrowed the ass and a colt. Horses represented strength in battle, for a horse charges right into the battle without fear. King Jesus is all-powerful. Why would he need horses? Deuteronomy 17:17. Neither shall ye multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. King Jesus' bride were the 12 tribes of Israel. We found this in Exodus 19, 5 through 8 and 10. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Verse 10, the tribes are divorced due to unfaithfulness and transgressions. 10 tribes are divorced due to unfaithfulness and transgression. And back to Deuteronomy 17:17, neither shall he greatly multiply himself gold and silver. We go to Matthew 10:5-9. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. In Matthew 17:24-27, and when they were come to Capernaum, that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus say unto them, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up that fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money that take, and give unto them for me and thee. Does this sound like King Jesus multiplied unto himself gold and silver? Back to Deuteronomy 18:19. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in the book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of his law and these statutes to do them. Luke 2:40-44, 46-49, 52. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they had returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Here we see how King Jesus did under temptation. We'll go to Matthew 4:3-11-23. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto them, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taking him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all things All these things will I give thee, if thou fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devils leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. There was no compromising here, was there? A good sovereign king does not compromise. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Did King Jesus fulfill verses 18 and 19? Yes. Deuteronomy 17:20. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. King Jesus fulfilled this part of the commandment and went beyond by giving up his life so that 10 tribes that were divorced could once again be gathered back into the kingdom. No king has ever reigned as long as King Jesus. Does he still not reign today? Does he not reign with us here in other assemblies like this one? His name is on his people's lips at times and maybe in their hearts at Christmas and Easter and 1 hour on Sundays or when they need help in a critical moment. Let's look at the accomplishments of our king. When Jesus walked this earth gathering his people for his kingdom, he gave out free health care. Who today wouldn't want that? Jesus cleansed lepers, healed paralytics, healed the sick, cast out demons, made the blind see, raised the dead, answered questions of all sorts, and much more. He only required 10% of whatever one made and no more. Who would object to that? For today, it probably is 50% when counting all the taxes and licensing on purchases of any kind. At times, he gave out free food to those who came to listen to him. No one paid to hear him. What more could the citizens ask for? Who wouldn't want to live under King Jesus' rule? Naturally, King Jesus had adversaries, just as with any king or ruler of any nation. We will look at two of Jesus' adversaries. Pharisees' definition. The Pharisees formed the largest and most influential religious political party in New Testament times. They are consistently depicted in the Gospels as antagonists or opponents of Jesus Christ in the early Christians. The name Pharisee means separated one. The Pharisees separated themselves from society to study and teach the law, but they also separated themselves from the common people because they considered them religiously unclean. Pharisees consisted of Edomites, Judahites, and the dispersed. Pretty much of what our Congress and state legislatures are made up of today. Compare the Pharisees and scribes with legislatures today. Scribes in ancient Israel were learned men whose business was to study the law, transcribe it, and write commentaries on it. They were also hired on occasions when the need for a written document arose or when an interpretation of a legal point was needed. Ezra, a teacher, well-versed in the law of Moses, was a scribe. Ezra 7:6. The scribes took their job of preserving Scripture very seriously. They would copy and recopy the Bible meticulously, even counting letters and spaces to ensure each copy was correct. We can thank the Judean scribes for preserving the Old Testament portion of our Bibles. Judeans became increasingly known as the people of the book because of their faithful study of Scripture, particularly the law and how it should be followed. In the New Testament era, scribes were often associated with the sect of the Pharisees, although not all Pharisees were scribes. They were teachers of the people and interpreters of the law. They were widely respected by the community because of their knowledge, dedication, and outward appearance of law-giving, keeping. The scribes went beyond interpretation of Scripture, however, and added many man-made traditions to what God had said. They became professionals at spelling out the letter of the law while ignoring the spirit behind it. Now let's imagine Jesus is campaigning for a high position in our time, and you hear he is in town. You have heard so much about him, and you want to hear what he has to say. We'll go to Matthew 23. This would be like going to see Harold at a Tea Party meeting give a speech. Then spoke Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say not and do not." At this point, I'm thinking, I'm loving this man. "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and large the borders of their garments." Definition of phylacteries is a small leather box containing Hebrew text on vellum, worn by Judean men at morning prayer as a reminder to keep the law. And they loved the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. I think here he was just referring to the people of the Catholic Church. He was attacking the Catholic Church here. "Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." I am really loving this man at this point. "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is good greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar, sweareth by it, and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple, sweareth by it, and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and come and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. And say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnessed unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? I am in awe of how he is slamming these traitors. I have never heard someone so thorough. I am running to him at this point, screaming, how can I help you? Wherefore, behold, he goes on and he says, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. Is Jesus saying that he sends prophets and wise men and scribes to Edomites or Canaanites? Was Jesus only referring to the Judeans? That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. This verse is used a lot in identifying Canaanites and those with the blood of Cain in them as being the murderers of Abel. Zechariah was a prophet sent to the Judeans. Canaanites and Judeans were responsible for his death. I have more on this later. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them, which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. It was inhabitants of Jerusalem responsible for the outcome of the prophets. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. At the end of Jesus' speech to the crowd, his reply would be, I am Jesus the Christ, and I approve this message. Now, John chapter 11, 47, 52. Now, this is interesting. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spoke he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Caiaphas prophesied Jesus was to die for the people so that he could gather those children of God that were scattered. What was Caiaphas to do? Ignore prophecy? Jesus gave to his subjects what they wanted. He even gave them his death. When the Judeans cried out, crucify him, it wasn't only Edomites doing the crying out. It was Judeans and scattered Israel. Part of my opening reading is Luke 19:27, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Does that apply only to Israelites? Are the Israelites the only people eligible to be ruled by Jesus? We can say that God's enemies here are only Edomites, but if we do, then wouldn't we also be saying that the curse of Edomites can be under the law? Would Jesus give up his life for the sake of Edomites? Would Jesus send prophets to the cursed people? Yes, the Edomites had an influence on the Judeans, but the Judeans were responsible. When Jesus called these Pharisees vipers and hypocrites, he was referring to the Judeans who were Pharisees. Was Jesus telling these Judeans that if you want to align yourself with cursed Canaanites, then you will be called cursed Canaanites, and you will be held responsible for all that they have done and will do? Those that do are vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. You know, it used to be that if a group of thugs went in to rob a bank, and one of the thugs shot someone and killed someone, all involved were charged with murder. Ruth was labeled as a Moabite by living in the land of Moab. Ruth 1, verse 1 and 2. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. That, you go to the side notes, and it refers you to Judges 3:30. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. That's 80 years. Now we go back to Ruth 1:15. So we know Israelites are in Moab. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Now, if you go to the word gods in this reference, it refers you to Joshua 24:15. And in Joshua 24:15, it says, "And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Ruth 1:16, and Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." Was Ruth labeled a Moabitess due to her upbringing through her parents' desire to worship other gods? Or was she labeled a Moabitess for being born in the land, or both? Praise God for Ruth's desire to serve the true God. The saying is that God took the Israelites out of Egypt, but there were those Israelites that could not or would not get the Egypt out of them. We know what happened to them. If wolves come in sheep's clothing, surely sheep can wear wolves' clothing. The only difference between wolves and sheep wearing wolves' clothing is that the sheep can repent. As long as sheep wear wolves' clothing, then they should be called wolves. No difference when King Jesus referred to the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees as being serpents. It is also said that you are what you eat. Look at what most of the obese children of God in the world eat. I saw on the way home a billboard sign saying Wagner's chicken, pan-fried chicken and hog fat, and it's on the billboard. And I got to thinking, wow, that sounds really great. It's no different than a COVID shot. Our people are giving their kindred brothers food that hurts them over the years. And isn't that what COVID's doing? The COVID shot's doing? We're killing ourselves. We're killing our own kind. Another saying, if it waddles like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it must be a duck. If it walks like a Canaanite, talks like a Canaanite, and thinks like a Canaanite, then it must be a Canaanite. Which leads us back to the opening reading. Luke 19:26, for I say unto you that unto every one which shall have shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Now this verse is talking about money in the parable. Could Jesus be talking also about their stature as his children? Could Jesus be talking about the ability of his children handling truth and righteousness? In 1 Thessalonians 2:14-15, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Judeans, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. John 1:10-13. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Psalms 14:1-7. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They were all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. We can blame the counterfeit Jews or the serpent seed for all our turmoil, but the fact remains it was Adam and his kind who took, and are currently taking, the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and still taking the fruit from the serpent seed. It is Adam's kind who keeps listening to the serpent seed. Why? Because the serpent gives the power to man to choose what is right or wrong in their eyes rather than God's eyes. Man has a desire to be like God. If an examination was done on disagreements in biblical theology, it might be interesting to see if the parties involved were in want of being a God or in want of the I am to be God. And Psalm 16:4 says that the sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will be multiplied. Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. In closing, John 10:31-37. Then the Judeans, combination of Edomites, Judeans, and dispersed Israelites, took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Judeans answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thou God, thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto them the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. For those whose mind has not been made up on whether choosing God or man to rule, let us go to Psalms 19:7-14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, much more fine than gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Verse 13 says that we can be sucked into the deception of others, such as media, that there are those standing up for righteousness and morality for one thing. There are hundreds of reasons that are wrong with Christian Israelite nations. Who will fix them all? We are told in Revelation and Matthew that even the elect, if it were possible, would be deceived. Don't be deceived by man and media. All they do is compromise with each other. Twice our God has been rejected by his children, and yet he has forgiven us and brought us out of the bondage of our transgressions. The second rejection was necessary. Last week's message, What God Nailed on the Cross, by Pastor Jim, tells how necessary it was. Had it not been for the second rejection, where would we be? Like Sodom and Gomorrah. When will the children of God ever stop wanting to be like all the other nations and seeking a man to rule over them? Jesus gave us a prayer for the kingdom of heaven to come on earth as it is in heaven. Why is the kingdom of heaven not here on earth? Because the devils are not being cast out. Luke 11:20. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. We do not know when God's will is for his kingdom to come on earth. We should not stop praying for it to happen. And we should have faith and work in the meantime to make it happen. The kingdom of heaven has a king, and we do not need to look towards man to save us. We, the people of this nation, are under corporate law and not common law. The Pharisees and scribes are not willing to give up their wealth to do what is right as long as the people of this nation keep thinking that they can change things by voting. It's an illusion. Every day, doesn't it have to be a challenge in knowing whom we are serving? No king but Jesus. This passage down here on the end, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. I put that in there as a reminder of what happened to me 15, 20 years ago. Me and this guy were on our way up to Ohio at a meeting. He was the speaker. I picked him up, and we were going through a town, and I got pulled over. And the cop comes up, and he says, I see your license. So I gave him my Heaven's driver's license, Embassy of Heaven Church driver's license. He took it back to the car, started reading, he come back with the number, and he says, this isn't registered in our system. I said, that's because it's from the Embassy of Heaven. And he says, where do you live? And I said, where do you reside? And I said, Heaven. Well, he didn't know what to do with that. And I, personally, I got thinking, I don't believe I said that. And this verse came in here is that he gave me the words to say. The guy just let me go. Well, the guy that was with me, he started cracking up laughing. He says, this is unbelievable. I got to get me one of them licenses. But he said, the reason he let you go is because he was when he asked where you resided, he was looking for a state. He wanted me to say a state or a place where I lived, and I didn't do it. He didn't know how to handle heaven. So I thought, and that verse there I had, but point is we should try for, even if we don't live in heaven, we should at least try our best to act as though we are in heaven. Thank you.